I'm going to begin this fifth message in the series of messages which I've entitled The King James Only Deception by saying to you that what you heard in message number 3 and message number 4 is no small matter. It is not some trite, interesting point exposing witchcraft, sorcery-styled incantation, seduction is not a small matter, particularly when you expose it being in the camp of the saints. And if ever there has been a book that has gotten into the camp of the saints, it's Gail Riplinger's book, New Age Versions. And what we did in the last message is we showed the incantations that she used in that book. And some said, well, is that incantation type sorcery in the book all the way throughout it? And I'll have to tell you, it's more in the front of the book, which would make sense. You cast a spell at the beginning, but yes, as I thumb through it, it is throughout the book. Now, I made a point of not reading this book. You say, well, then how do you know her points? Because I have listened to hours of her tapes, and she uses those tapes to promote her book, and she uses in the tapes the very points that are in the book. Because I've looked at the index. Now, I have gone through some of her charts. At first, when I got the book, I started looking at it, and I started making the comparisons. She will show what she calls changes, and how they're taking away the deity of Christ, and changing the whole teaching of the Bible. And you start looking at her charts. She'll compare the King James to an NIV, mostly NIV, which I'm not necessarily a great fan of. But anyway, as you start checking it out, it became very obvious within this matter of 10 pages that this woman was extremely deceptive. And I've said this in the series already. I have never in my life seen more deception, more dishonesty, and more witchcraft, sorcery-style seduction on any topic in my 25 years as a minister than on this topic known as the King James Only. And she's come into the camp of the saints, and she seduced many of them. Now, I want to give a little review. What I did in part 3 and part 4 was exactly what needs to be done with someone like a Gail Riplinger. Something that very few people do, because, frankly, I'm beginning to realize few people begin to see the evil when it's being used against them. It's being done, though, in accordance with the Scriptures. And I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Listen closely. Quote, "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." End of quote. The job is for the minister to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Going on in verse 12, it says, quote, "For it is disgraceful, even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil," end of quote. These Christians in Ephesus were warned of the evil, what always comes disguised as good, and they were warned to be wise. Jesus told us that we were to be wise as serpents. And that's what we're dealing with, a bunch of snakes. In verse 6 and 7, it says of this chapter, quote, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light," end of quote. And notice there the admonition, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." Now, talking about empty words, notice that I showed in the last message, I guess it was message number 3 of this series, the art of those who follow the god Beelzebub. And that is basically the art of saying a whole lot of words and saying nothing. Remember, as we read about all the qualifications of Gail Riplinger, then we stopped and analyzed it. We knew nothing about Gail Riplinger. We didn't know what she studied. We don't know what kind of book she wrote. We don't know what she mastered in. We don't know what her degrees are in. We don't know what president appointed her as an ambassador, citizen's ambassador to Russia. We know nothing. But yet you came away after reading that on her book, the back cover, with the feeling that she's an extremely well-qualified scholar. But the truth of the matter is, it's just like it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God will come. Now, Gail Riplinger's book is entitled New Age Versions. That's the title on the spine of the book. And that's exactly what it is. It's a New Age version on the Textus Receptus, or on Bishop Westcott, or Dr. Hort, or on the Vaticanus and Sinaitic Manuscript, and on the Textus Receptus versus the later texts, on the Masoretic versus the Septuagint. Now, I know these are points that mean nothing to many people. In fact, someone asked me, what is the Textus Receptus? Well, that's the set of Greek texts on which the King James translation is based. They also call it the received text. Now, remember, in this warfare, and that's what we're dealing with, words are very important. The received text sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? It's the received text, the text on which the King James Version was based. And all the versions after that, they'll point out, were based upon other texts, tainted texts. Now, the points that she makes in her book are all 180 degrees off of truth. And the main point of the last two messages was to show how she uses spell casting, incantation to get across her lying points. Still a way of review, let me just read a little bit from the first chapter, the first page of the first chapter of her book. But before we do, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that any evil incantation, witchcraft, sorcery, type seduction that is used in this first page would go back upon the head of the deceivers, and that you deceive them and let no harm come to your people. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said before, don't read the book. It's up to you. I gave you the reasons why. I gave you second witnesses as to why you shouldn't, but whenever I do read a little bit of it, I want to make sure I pray. Now, the very first words, the mandate, infiltrate. Now, what they're trying to make out is that all the Bible translations that have come since the 1611 King James Version is a part of infiltration of the New Age movement into Christianity. That's really basically their theme. And I say their theme, I'm talking about the queen, this New Age nanny, Gail Riplinger, and all her little pawns that dote around her skirt like a bunch of eunuchs plagiarizing her work. And I'm talking about her knights that will fight and defend her. But that's their theme, is that Satan has come in and added to and taken away. And all these other translations are as a result of an infiltration of the New Age movement. Remember how these people work. They always accuse everyone else of doing what they are doing. She has a mandate. Infiltrate. And it goes on to say, the first sentence says, quote, soul snagged in the spiritual region, remote from reason, will one day give way, sliding headlong down into Satan's dark chamber church. End the quote. Now, we analyzed some of that last week. That is the incantation. That's the rhyme, the rhythm. It's just like the witches in the scene of Macbeth, in the witches scene where it says, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. This is the spell casting of witches. Now, some of you might say, well, there's nothing to it. Well, then that's your problem. The Bible says that witches are a problem. The Bible tells us that we are not to allow a charmer in our midst, a spell caster. We covered that in the last two messages. Notice that the job, though, is to snag souls. I think I used the word snare in the last message, and I should have used the word snag. That's what it says. Soul snag in a spiritual region remote from reason. Now, in the next message, entitled The Proper Position, you'll see what it means to be remote from reason. But dropping on down here, it says, the second paragraph, it says, quote, Satan's barred by a small book from his quest for the throne. When opened, it unleashes a wall of words graven in stone, end of quote. Now, there's a message there, and that is this. They must keep the word of God a closed book to the common man. Some have asked the question, why do we have this incantation? And I said, we're going to start addressing why. Well, remember, one of the jobs of the Antichrist forces is to keep the Bible from being an open book. And right here it says that when opened, it unleashes a wall of words. And so their job is to make sure it stays closed. Again, I'm going to say this is no small matter. It's not a small matter for you. You shouldn't take it lightly, because ask yourself, who else has showed you what this stuff is? Secondly, it's no small matter for me. This is a much bigger thing than many are going to realize. This book was written by more than one person. There's evil behind it. One authority that we listened to in the last two messages thinks that it's a military operation. And when you expose evil, you in turn are attacked. You are demonized. And you are painted as the evil person. And that's why I need your prayers. I will not only be demonized by her little knights and her scattering, skimpering little pawns, there'll be so-called men of God that will take the side of this witchcraft-practicing sorcerer, seducer, take her side over mine. Someone said, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, they're not going to be very happy with your series, and they're probably going to come out fighting. I said, let them. It won't be the first time they fought on the side of a witch. I've been through the school of hard knocks enough to know how this thing works when people get caught up in the charming spellcaster's web. And as it says, some saying somewhere, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. I think I can take it. But I just want you to understand what the scenario is going to be. Here's what you can watch for. As this gets out on our national and international radio broadcasts, poor little Gail will probably take the position of a Christian lady that's persecuted and bullied for standing up for God's Word, the 1611 translation. I doubt very much she's going to do much fighting, because she has fought others that have fallen into her trap, dialectical trap, of trying to come out in a scholarly way and show the errors of her reasoning. That worked to allow her to get another book out. But you see, what we're doing is we're ripping the skirt off of the Babylonian whore and showing her naked witchcraft practices, and I doubt very much she's going to say much about me. However, her knights are a different story. The knights that are on the board in this battle, they'll come out fighting. And they will try to fight me by demonizing me. They'll equate me to everything from a Nazi to KKK to white supremacist to a cult to being unchristian. The battle that's going on in the world today is not in the physical realm. Even her book admits that it has to do with words. On the second or third page of the book, it says, I should say on the second or third page of the first chapter, it says, quote, as the New Age's nanny admits, quote within quote, the war will be fought with mental weapons in the world of thought, in the quote, within quote, in the quote. She's the New Age nanny, and she's admitting the war is being fought with weapons that have to do with the way you think. So the next words that she has is, quote, antics with semantics. So Satan sees words wielding east and west as the only weapon in his war to win the world, end of quote. Words are very important. By the way, The way they position you, as I'll show in the next message called Proper Positioning, is all part of that warfare as well. Regarding the pawns and the knights, I'll say concerning the pawns that already some men are going to scramble and distance themselves from Gail. Those that plagiarized her, I want to repeat an old cowboy saying to them, quote, "A man who ain't got ideas of his own ought to be mighty careful who he borrows from," end quote. You should have been awful careful before you started plagiarizing this old gal. Proverbs 17:4 is a good scripture for them. Quote, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue," end quote. And I thought, what kind of men who would hold themselves up as men of God and supposedly shepherds of the flock would listen to a lying tongue like Gail Riplinger? And lo and behold, there's Proverbs 17:4 telling us. Again, quote, "An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to destructive tongue," end of quote. And my, how they have lied. They've taken her lies and lied, and you say, well, but he was just caught up in her lies. I've watched some of these. I've one individual I'm thinking of particularly, I took and I looked at the scriptures that he was trying to show that were taken out of the King James, and had he just read a little further, it would have, in fact, I might just show you some of the deception as we go on in here, how they lie right along with her. They have to know they're lying to follow these same charts. What kind of people would do that? Well, Proverbs 17:4 tells us. Oh, well, I didn't use her. Some men are going to try to distance themselves, these pawns. And they're going to say, I wasn't following Gail Riplinger. Oh, really? Well, I suppose it's just a coincidence that your lying arguments are the same ones that she uses in her book. I suppose it's just a coincidence that her book is listed as a reference source. And you give information how to order her book to the flock. And I suppose it's just an accident that you praise the book by saying it's, quote, quite convincing and heavily documented, end quote. Yeah, these deceivers, the leaders that are in bed with this New Age nanny, they're going to either fight or it's going to be flight when the bed sheets are jerked off and they're being exposed along with her. Now, there is another option, and I want to say this for my radio audience. I want to say it for my tape audience as well as the audience before me. And that other option is this. Just repent. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. Say you were deceived. Don't be so prideful and arrogant that you try to hold on so you don't look bad, because you will be either humbled or you will humble yourself, one or the other. We've all been deceived, and sometimes it's just flat good for you, because you have to humble yourself. You have to confess your sins, that you're not all that smart, and you haven't been relying upon the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you've become your own great I am. No one could deceive me. Isn't it kind of interesting how these people that send me letters, that Pastor Peters is the deceived one here, and all the world, all the world of scholars. And I'm telling you that you can knock scholarship all you want, but there is an elite group of gentlemen who are in textual criticism, who are not New Age people. They're Christian men, and that is a field of study that is very intense, and you have to be very well trained and very dedicated. How is it that these conservative, conspiracy-conscious type Christians suddenly are seeing all these men deceived, and they can't accept the fact that some old New Age nanny comes riding in on her horse and deceives them? Does that make sense? It's pride. And we've got to humble ourselves. Just humble yourself and say, I was wrong. Now, I'll be doing some rebuking. I have already been doing some rebuking in this series. But Proverbs 17:10 says, quote, "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool," end of quote. Now, it's going to be hard for those self-righteous, fundamentalist preachers who have already awarded Gail Ripplinger an honorary doctorate's degree. To humble themselves can be real hard. But you know, it's good sometimes for God to put us in those positions. Let's talk about the knights on the board. So much for the pawns. Let's talk about the knights. Now, at this point, I'm not concerned about the hovering pawns around this New Age queen. I want to talk more about the knights. For the most part, the pawns are insignificant at this stage. The knights, however, are another story. And who are the knights? There are two big names that I think of in Christian broadcasting and in Christian book sales that have endorsed her book, either directly or indirectly, both of whom are supposed to be crusaders against evil, and to get this, against witchcraft practices and against Satanism. Now, I find it interesting that two of the main leaders against conspiracy and Satanism and witchcraft are two that are endorsing Gail Ripplinger's book. The first one, the one I'll spend the most time on, is Tex Mars. Listen to the very first endorsement in her book. Quote, "It may be the most important book ever written, unparalleled, stunning expose," end of quote. And guess who gave that endorsement? Tex Mars. I can just hear him now. "It may be the most important book ever written, unparalleled, stunning expose," end of quote. Oh no, you say, not Tex Mars. The crusader against evil, the exposer of the New Age itself. The brilliant expositor on the conspiracy, Tex Mars. Oh no, not Tex Mars. I got a question. I got a question for this audience, for my radio audience, my tape audience. How is it possible that some cowboy can come riding in off the range carrying a Bible? He can clearly see the evil incantation spell casting of Gail Ripplinger's book. And the expert and foremost exposer of evil cannot. How's that possible? How is it that a work like Gail Ripplinger's that has an encrypted message that was told to us, remember, by an authority on mind control, how is it that a work like hers that has an encrypted message, one showing signs of military involvement, is not recognized by a retired high-ranking military commander with a degree in psychology, with a job in the military of sending encrypted messages for Henry Kissinger across the Atlantic? Now, how is it that he can't understand this, but some cowboy carrying a Bible can figure it out? In fact, he promotes it as the most important book ever written. Now, that seems to me like he's putting it in the category even higher than the Bible. Let's review next what Stephen Jacobson, an expert in mind control, said about this book, New Age Versions. This is way of review. Would you like to give me your analysis of what was faxed to you?
A number of things stuck out. It was apparent that the way the book is written, that it is a definite mental program, and your suspicions were correct that it is the manner in which it is constructed. It is spellbinding. It does induce a trance in the reader, where the reader is picking up the information, but without critical analysis. One can become lost in all the verbiage of that piece. Now, the use of incantation from the Encyclopedia Britannica in 1911 It defines incantation as the use of words spoken, sung, or chanted, usually as a set formula, for the purpose of obtaining a result by their supposed magical powers, end quote.
Now, that's just way of review. We had that in the last message. Next, though, this authority tells us that in his opinion, her book was written by more than one person. Listen to what he says here.
The power of sound has been recognized throughout history, and in fact, the power of the the use of symbolic language, rhymes, metaphor. It is seeking the author, whoever the author is in reality, or if more than one person was involved in constructing this. And this is a very sophisticated and deliberate style of writing, which really suggests it suggests high level military or intelligence involvement in this. It is designed to communicate directly to the subconscious. It's a code. Now, it would be interesting to see what a cryptographer would say about this, in deciphering the code. Frankly, I wouldn't, want to spend too much time, reading this book because of the negative effect that I feel that it can have on an individual, and certainly anyone who would read it from cover to cover is going to have a problem as a result. I don't see how anyone could read this book in its entirety
and not be affected.
Another
thing that is interesting to me is that this book has for its first endorsement an endorsement by Tex Mars, and it says it may be the most important book ever written, unparalleled, stunning expose. And this man, Mr. Mars, is supposed to be sort of an occult hunter, dealing with secret witchcraft type things, and yet here is a book that is full of spellbinding incantation. And you mentioned something about the encrypted codes. And I understand that Mr. Mars, in the military, was involved with, I think it was called encryptology or something like that.
That is an interesting piece of information. Information, I was talking with someone last week, a fellow researcher, and Mr. Mars was in the Air Force. The Air Force has a large contingent in the psychological warfare division, so the speculation is on my part because of his endorsement of this book, and especially calling it perhaps the most important book ever written, certainly casts a cloud on the activities of Tex Mars, because if this new piece of information that you brought to my attention today is working in cryptology and codes, and if that is in fact what he was doing in the U.S. Air Force, then that adds an even more questionable note to this whole endeavor here.
Wouldn't it seem strange that this man wouldn't recognize what even a novice such as myself saw?
Oh, gee. You know, he'd have to. He'd have to. And that's why his name on it and the fact that he's selling it, making it available through his ministry, certainly calls the intent of his ministry in question. Most definitely, it's his association with this book. He has whatever following he has. People who would be looking to him as an authority. Very often people will buy things or accept certain ideas because it is being promoted by someone who they respect as an authority figure. And that being the case, people are being misled who are delving into this particular book.
He said more than one person was involved. It was a very sophisticated, deliberate style. He said it was suggestive of a high military involvement. He said it had an encrypted message in it. Now, do you think it was just an accident that Gail Riplinger, in witchcraft, incantation, spellcasting style, wrote this? Do you think it was just an accident that an authority on mind control brought up the fact that there was an encrypted message in the text, and he suspected military involvement behind it? And do you think it's just an accident that Tex Mars doesn't see this? Tex Mars is one of the knights that have been placed on the board to defend the Queen. Now listen to him promote her and her book, and then defend her.
I even have a book. It's not my book. It's written by a precious Christian sister. Juan and I have had opportunity to meet with her and her husband. She's a family woman. She's very concerned about these things. She wrote this book, New Age Bible Versions. It's 690 pages. We offer it through the ministry because I believe in it. Not that Gail Riplinger, the author, is perfect. Only God's Word is perfect. This is not sacred script, but there is great documentation in this book. It will shock you. It will startle you. It will amaze you. It will bless you with its documentation. Now, because Gail Riplinger wrote this book, I want to tell you something. She is being persecuted left and right. Lies are being made up about her. The Christian Research Institute, this Catholic Vatican think tank in California, comes out almost every day and blasts Gail Riplinger. And, of course, they like to mention Tex Mars' name in retrospect as well, because she wrote this book. At first, they said, oh, but you see, she's not really a scholar. First, they lied about her and put out information that she really didn't even have the credentials that she said she had. Unfortunately, my friends, I had in my hands the 5 university-level textbooks that she has authored. They said she was only a home economics teacher. What does she know? Well, first of all, my friends, it's not how much of man's knowledge you have anyway.
So there you have Tex, the knight, defending the Queen. Now, Tex is a big name in the conspiracy-conscious Christian circles. How big? Well, Tex tells us right here.
Time for World of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. Well, you know, I've had many wonderful guests on World of Prophecy, but I'm going to tell you, friends, I don't know that I've ever been more pleased than to have invited this guest to talk about this book that I have in my hand. It's a book that's going to change lives. It could change your life. And that may sound dramatic, but I think you'll understand why when we begin to interview and hear from my very special guest. Now, I want to tell you something. I have an admission to make, a great confession to make. And those of you who are aware of what we do in this ministry, Living Truth Ministries, World of Prophecy, we send our newsletter, Flashpoint, around the world. I was told today it goes into at least 70 countries around the world. I've authored over 35 books. 3 have been number one bestsellers on the Christian nonfiction list, and yet I must confess to you that I wish I had written this book, because it's better and more important than any book that I've written. As I said, 35 books for Simon & Schuster, Prentice Hall, McGraw-Hill, some of the largest publishers, even the largest Christian publishers. And now I own my own, very small, but God has blessed our publishing operation, Living Truth Publishers. But this book is more important than any of my books.
Tex Mars is not an unintelligent man. He's a very big hitter in this conspiracy game.
I say that, my friends, and I've taught at three universities. The University of Texas at Austin. I graduated summa cum laude from Park College in Kansas City. I taught for Golden Gate University in San Francisco.
Now, you might be saying, well, what did they teach? Bible textual criticism? No. Psychology. Of course, now he denounces that psychology, supposedly. But as I'll be showing you in this series, this man is a master psychologist, which is all part of the sorcery seduction. Very intelligent man, though. Next, you're going to hear that he's a retired military commander. And guess what his specialty was when he was in the military? What his expertise was? Cryptology. But don't believe me. Listen to him tell you. Now, on this tape, he talks about a Rabbi Alden Steinsaltz, who is the head of Israel Institute for Talmudic Publications. And then he's talking about how there are hidden messages that Steinsaltz have found in the King James type text. And he reveals in the process his expertise on cryptology.
Here's what he says, and I think this is accurate. He says the holiness of the Bible is in the very letters of the text. Naturally, says Rabbi Steinsaltz, this makes for a difference in the relation to the study of these books, as tradition has shown. Every letter and sign in the Bible is pored over, says Rabbi Steinsaltz, as a divine mystery waiting to be revealed. The combination, he says, of the letters and words and sentences are the manner in which their meaning is communicated to us. But it may well be a secondary meaning. And he notes, quote, one may make all sorts of combinations on a variety of levels and obtain 600,000 possible revelations. Well, a secret code, 600,000 possible revelations? Well, Rabbi Steinsaltz, I'm afraid you're wrong. There's probably many more than 600,000. This is just the words of the Bible written in Hebrew, there in Genesis, in sequence. And they chose, for example, every second letter, then every third letter, and so on. And so it would have to be equidistant. And thus, as any cryptographer knows, and by the way, the science of cryptography is pretty advanced. Even in World War II, cryptographic messages were sent, coded messages. I was a squadron commander of a communications electronics outfit when I was an Air Force officer over in Germany. And I can tell you, we had the most sensitive and sophisticated coding machines. And I recall that when Henry Kissinger came over to Europe for what was called the SALT talks, that was the Strategic Arms Weapons Limitation talks with the Soviet Union, held in Helsinki, Finland. I sent my technicians, my coding technicians, with these machines to Helsinki. And Kissinger was able to send back coded messages to the Pentagon and to the White House, to the National Security Agency, for example, and the National Security Council, all very safely coded. And the Soviet Union could not scramble, or I should say unscramble, these messages, these codes that were sent. Well, the Bible, too, is coded.
Yeah, I can just see Henry Kissinger saying, hey, now, we got these important SALT talks going on. We want to send encrypted messages back to the Pentagon. Want to make sure no one intercepts them. We want one of the very best. Get Commander Mars and his boys to do that. Well, why Commander Mars? Well, because Commander Mars is a good conservative Christian boy who doesn't believe in the New World Order. And that's the kind of boy I want to send my messages back. Here is the conspiracy crusader of conspiracy crusaders amongst the fundamentalist conspiracy-conscious Christian crowd. He's the first main endorser of this witchcraft called New Age versions. He's a brilliant man, a university professor, a military commander with an expertise in just what he said, and he couldn't possibly be any part of a world, one world conspiracy. You know, I've been through the secular university scene. And let me tell you, they don't hire conservative, Christian-oriented professors. And I've written my share of books as well. I don't get them published by Simon & Simon or Schuster or McGraw-Hill. Couldn't begin to. That's why we have our own publishing house ourselves. Had to. And thanks be to the Heavenly Father that Christian people made it possible for me to do that, or my books wouldn't get published. I know Tex Mars personally. Been on his radio program. When my church was seized, when the homosexuals were persecuting us, trying to close Pastor Peters and his church down, about a year or so later, he had me on his program to tell a story. I've had Tex Mars on my television program, Truth for the Times. I interviewed him about a book he wrote concerning Hillary Clinton. And he and his wife have dined with myself and my wife. I asked my wife the other day, I said, you know, when we were, and by the way, that was not his first or second wife, I don't know which, that was the Oriental. The wife that we dined with, her name is Wanda. No, it's not the Oriental wife that he had. But I can remember telling my wife, I said, honey, when we met Tex and his wife, particularly Tex, what word would you use to describe him? And this is what she said, quote, charming, end the quote. Snakes, you can take it or leave it from this cowboy, but I'm telling you, I don't wear high top boots for nothing anymore. Snakes are charming. They're charming. I took this as an illustration in a past message. I want to read it again to you. It comes from the USA Today. One day I was having coffee looking at USA Today, and this is on front page. I think it was front page. This is what it said, quote, the serpent. He is suave, well-read, handsome, speaks six languages fluently, and makes friends easily. Charles Sabaja is also, by his own admission, a serial killer, a forger, and a fraud. Sabaja, 52, whose talent at disguises, jail escapes, and media manipulation earn him the name The Serpent, end the quote. That's all I'm going to read from the article. Just to show you that we use that quite often. We say, you snake. He was a snake. Well, that's what you have here, are snakes. I talked to Gail Ripplinger just about 2 days prior to this message. Hopefully I can get an interview with her. That's what I made contact with her about. I've watched her on videotape. And I can tell you by talking to her on the phone now a couple different times, she is extremely charming and sweet. And in fact, the last word she said to me was, God bless you. This is the way it works. Tex Mars is charming, suave, likable, intelligent, well-trained, doing exactly what he's been put on the board to do. Christian people had better wake up. There are going to be some people upset with me for exposing the snakes. Here's another knight I'll briefly mention because time's running out. That's Bob Larson. I know him personally and only not quite as well. I was on his radio program several years ago dealing with the subject of interracial marriage. You see, I believe that black people have a right. If they want to believe that black people should marry black people, that's their right to believe that. I believe if there are Oriental people that believe that Oriental people ought to marry Oriental people, that's their right to believe it. But Bob Larson makes out like that's some kind of unchristian position when people want to marry in their own race. And that's what I was on his program about. Last time I saw him was at the National Religious Broadcasters the convention in Washington, D.C., and I said to him, I said, Bob, you still promoting interracial marriage? He said, I'm still promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I chuckled as I went on. He's a big radio and TV broadcaster that is supposed to be against evil Satanism. On page 16, Gale quotes Bobby, and this is what Bobby Larson says concerning quotes, concerning cults, quote, "The basic fault of cults is that they demote God, devalue Christ, deify man, deny sin, and denigrate Scripture," end of quote. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, here is Bobby using the same incantation style that Gail Ripplinger uses. Isn't that something? And he's supposed to expose evil all the time. So I brought that up in my interview with Stephen Jacobson, and this is what he had to say about that. Listen to this. Did you notice on page 16, the quote by Mr. Bob Larson even has the same type of prose?
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yes. Would you like to comment on
that? Sure is. That caught my eye as well. And
maybe I ought to read it here.
Yes.
Or why don't you read it?
All right. It's page 16, and the book's title is New Age Bible Versions. It's a quote by a cult expert, Bob Larson. I don't know what qualifications he has for that title, but the quote that is attributed to him is very interesting because it uses the same kind of a pattern of words as the main body of this work. His quote is, "The basic fault of cults is that they demote God, devalue Christ, deify man, deny sin, and denigrate scriptures." So this use of words in rhyme and syncopated is very similar to the structure of this this book. And in fact, in thinking about when I've seen Bob Larson on television on a couple of occasions on the TBN network, he speaks in the same kind of syncopated fashion. I find a problem with that and with his emphasis that the title of his program, I believe I'm reading from a newspaper that did an investigative report on him. The weekly series was titled "In the Name of Satan," which I question the appropriateness of that as a title of a program from a Christian ministry. The emphasis is in the wrong place.
Yeah, he's supposed to be for Christ, but if you listen to his rhetoric, he's frequently talking about Satan and the dark things.
And yes, the emphasis is in the wrong place. I've noticed that myself, and then I relate to you earlier an incident where I had a short-lived business association with a company whose president has a relationship with Bob Lawson. And because of the personal experience of what I observed, I question the authenticity of that ministry. And there was the investigative report that I mentioned is in Christian Media from the summer 1996 edition. And they were, it was a story about a freelance writer and a longtime critic of Bob Larson and reporting on a lawsuit and various questionable practices and fundraising. But even without that, the observation of the programming would make me very wary of him.
Well, but basically what he said was this. Yes, I saw that Bob Larson used the same style. And then he went on to explain how Bob Larson, he's watched him on television, using hypnotic means and promoting evil. Guess what the name of his TV program is? in the name of Satan. And you see, it's a real art form, but the way you do it is that you supposedly are supposed to be against Satanism, and then you describe to the Christian audience that's listening to you all the intricacies and how it's done and how a human sacrifice is made. In fact, here is, I just took this out of my files. I'm on his mailing list. And if you want, he's got a video here. He doesn't give this stuff away. I forget how much it is, 100, 200 bucks for a video. If you want to watch an actual exorcism, you know, you can hear the voices of the demons of cursing God and blaspheming, and he's got it all there for you to listen to. Tex Mars, by the way, his newsletter is called Flashpoint. It reads like the National Enquirer. Devil's company, devil's product, devil's local. Here's another one. Beware of the Bible code. Here's one. God wrote the King James Bible. Here's one. Mark of the devil discovered. Isn't this kind of thing you would read at the checkout counter of some Christian grocery store? United Nations peacekeepers raise hell. This is the kind of material that Christian people are listening to, not realizing he's on the other side. One man wrote to me and said, by the way, Tex Mars, who I am sure is a Protestant, seems to be promoting beliefs in the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a most unusual position for Protestants as I understand them. See his Flashpoint, December 96, volume 96-12. Here was a writer, in the quote, that it was puzzled because it seemed like Tex was promoting the thing he's supposed to be against. One person wrote to me from New Mexico. This last letter I read was from New Hampshire. This one's from New Mexico. Quote, the name of his program is the Intelligence Examiner, is reminiscent of the National Enquirer, with that tabloid kind of title. His own style is very much the same, sweeping generalizations, picturesque language, wild exaggerations, and not a shred of proof to cover the ugly nakedness of the deception piled on top of deception, lie on lie, absurdity upon absurdity. End of quote. Now, when you expose evil, as I said, as I wrap this thing down, the tactic is they know they're guilty. They know they have no truth to stand on, so the only thing they can do is attack you and vilify you and use emotionally charged words to make people feel that you are evil. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this book called The King James Only Controversy by James White is an excellent book. I think I'm going to carry it on the ministry. I find it kind of interesting, by the way, that one of these pawns that have plagiarized Gail Riplinger, as he tried to list books pros and con, he conveniently left this book off the list. It's probably the best book out there. But he wrote this book in a very gentlemanly, scholarly way. And I read from the book, it says on a footnote, quote, on July 28th, 1994, in response to receiving 28 pages of documentation demonstrating errors in Gail Riplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions, Tex Mars wrote, quote, within quote, don't write me again unless in sincere repentance. You are a devil, plain and simple, and I understand well why Mrs. Riplinger does not respond to your ridiculous assertions. Why dignify the lying claims of a servant of Satan? End of quote. Now that's Tex Mars' response to James White's 24-page documentation of the errors in Gail's book. That's how he responds. Because that's the only way you can respond. That's the only thing they have going for them. Guess how Gail Riplinger responded? She came out with a new book called King James Versions, Ditches, Blind Guides. Notice the slick cover on that, by the way. You want to hear her brilliant response right up front to Mr. White? Listen to this. She says, with a poem, quote, Blind mice and scribes will never see their name in Matthew 23. The word slipped from their NIV. To get it back they will not flee, but sit and search for gnats on me. Blind guides would rather strain for lice than search within their own vice. They'll swallow some unsavory story cooked up by White, McMahon, or Maury. Their caravan a camel served with lumps and truth severely curved. Woe to these scribes who, having swerved, have turned aside from God's pure words. End of quote. Isn't that just a brilliant scholarly response on the part of Gale, that people in my own midst would hold her book up and say, this is a scholarly person, you need to get her books. You fraud, plagiarizing pawns. In conclusion, who are these people? What conspiracy do they serve? Why do they push the King James only position? You know, at first I resented having to get into this thing, because I had what I thought better things to do. But then, as I got into it, I became thankful, because I thought to myself, God has given me another avenue to open up to those conservative Christians the real conspiracy so they can see it. And I'm going to be showing that. It's going to unfold, and you'll see what's going on here as we go. And I'm sorry we're not going faster than we are, but we've got to take it a step at a time. But now it's time to stop in the series and address a question that was given to me at the end of a fourth message. And that was, well, what's the proper position? In the next message, we're going to address the proper position. The position that the King James translators told us to take. Stay tuned.